we present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took. Hello and welcome again to the news quiz. First, let's meet the teams. Would you welcome, on my right, writer, performer Andy Hamilton, and from The Observer, columnist Andrew Rawnsley. Facing them on my left, from The Times, Alan Corran, and from everywhere else, Jeremy Hardy. Before we start round one, here's a cutting from the Yorkshire Post.
Can we look at British art to provide a picture of Britishness? This display from the Tate's collection of British art is by Walter Sickert, Jacob Epstein, and Henri Gordier-Bruzeska.
Andy, you get the first question, and it's this. Whose hush puppies threaten to go walkies?
Oh, yes. Well, it's nice to kick off the series with an exciting story like Kenneth Clark not leaving the government, but... there were rumours going around, flying around, that he was thinking of sort of huffing his way out of cabinet on the grounds that everyone else wasn't European enough, and he didn't like the way that we keep telling the Europeans that we'll play with them, but only if we can take the ball back when we're not happy. And it's a bit of a non-story, because the rumour surfaced, probably circulated by people like Andrew, actually. Probably, you know, a chance remark overheard in a urinal somewhere in Westminster. And now he's denied it. He says he's not going. He's got no intention of going. And his good friend Michael Portillo came to his side and supported him and said, what a great chap Kenneth Clark is, which was a bit sick-making.
I mean, the problem is, of course, that the government can't make up its mind yet whether it wants to give us a referendum or not on Europe. Perhaps we should have a referendum on whether they should give us a referendum. The Europeans have been provoking us this week. Sorely they've been provoking us. They want to impose on us a shorter working week and longer holidays. Some of us fought wars to stop that sort of thing. Well, I didn't fight wars, and in fact, the people who say things like that, like Michael Portillo, didn't fight wars, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, actually, I'm very firmly with the Eurosceptics, because I think we must defend the sort of inalienable British right to work very long hours and fall asleep and lose limbs in the machinery and things like that. I think that's what's made this country great.
It's a roast beef of ye old England.
That's right.
Absolutely right. Well answered. This is Kenneth Clark's threat to resign if John Major goes ahead with a referendum on Europe. One question was immediately on an MP's lips. Does anyone have that in writing? Andrew, you were so helpful on that one. Here's one for you alone. Whose games might get them into deep water?
I'm just consulting with sources close to Andy Hamilton.
No, I haven't any idea at all.
I'll give you a clue from friends of Barry Took. No. Can we have a clue?
I give you another clue.
Oh, it's the Chinese.
Oh, yes.
Of course. Why didn't you say so first time? The Chinese have been doing some missile testing rather close to Taiwan with all the subtlety of Princess Diana, trying to intimidate the Taiwanese into not re-electing their current president and possibly declaring independence. But as if that wasn't enough, they then threatened all of us with a satellite coming out of orbit. And people in Brent Cross, if you were to believe some of the newspapers anyway, were up all night wondering whether this thing would come down on their head. Apparently it had oak panelling. Paneling for a heat shield.
It was like a Morris Minor, wasn't it? It was one of those.
A half-timbered satellite.
At least the Americans use mahogany.
This is China, who have been staging war games in the Taiwan Straits. Officially, America has a policy of strategic ambiguity. If war breaks out, they'll wait to see who's winning before joining in. Meanwhile, Taiwanese citizens are stocking up on food and sending their daughters abroad. They don't think China will invade. They're just worried that Bill Clinton might visit. Jeremy, who had 48 reasons maximum to court interference?
Well, it's got to be the 48-hour rule.
It is.
Which upset the British government, who tried and failed to overturn it at the European Court, because the European Court did suggest that workers should be allowed to go home sometimes. And this outraged British government and delighted Labour and the unions, even though it contains rather glaring loopholes, one of which is an exemption for people who don't need to be alert or rested, which is doctors and lorry drivers. Because, you know, when your foot's hard down on the accelerator and you're gripping the steering wheel with your forehead, you know, you can go for hours without coming over.
This was the row surrounding the government white paper totally rejecting European court interference and the 48-hour working week imposed on the government by the European court. Another imposition backbenchers rejected absolutely was the requirement to attend Euro meetings on Wednesdays. Apparently, it interferes with both weekends. Alan, here's a piece of music for you. Your question is, who was browned off by a singular line of questioning?
Are we having the cockerel that was brought up as a dog?
Sounds like it, yeah.
Go for it.
Go on.
No, bound to have it.
Go on.
No, no, we're not having the question. I'll do it later.
All right.
Who was browned off by a singular line of questioning?
Yes.
I had a great dream once. You probably know about it. To turn Desert Island Discs into a television programme called Desert Island Clips.
Oh.
And I came up against a mad woman called Diana Plumley. And this week she had a go at Sue Lawley, saying she was obsessed with sex. I thought this was very good news. She's getting to be my age now. She's nearly an older woman. But she gave Gordon Brown a tough time by asking him what he did and with whom and how often.
Did she?
And he didn't do anything with anybody at all. And that is why she is sex-obsessed, according to Mrs. Plumley. Mm-hmm. She got very upset about it. Or there's the one about the cockerel that was brought up as a dog. Charlie, who was found in a distressed state by the side of the road, and because there isn't a PDSA there, he was taken to... You must have seen the story. He was taken to Bristol Dog's Home.
Who was?
The cockerel.
Oh, I see.
Could have been Gordon Brown, though, couldn't it?
After 6 months, a man called Joe Barnett went down there and said, I'll have one of those. And he took the cockerel home. And the cockerel barks. And it's true, and chases people off. I wanted to be there when it tried to cock its leg against the lamppost. I'd like to be there when Gordon Brown tried to cock his leg against the lamppost. Is this about Gordon Brown?
It is.
Oh, good.
I've not been a fan of Desert Island Desk since they had Lady Moseley on. About 5 years ago, they had the widow of Oswald Moseley on Desert Island Desk. And I thought that Sue Lawley wasn't commensurate with the horror of this situation, because there's this elderly Nazi sitting opposite. And Sue Lawley saying, so why is Deutschland über alles one of your favourites? Is it now, Lady Moseley, you've had Ride of the Valkyrie 4 times, perhaps something by Simon and Garfunkel. You know this woman is sitting there wearing a helmet with horns coming out.
You're absolutely right, Alan. Thank you for that succinct answer. This is Sue Lawley's outrageous treatment of recent castaway Gordon Brown, which provoked a flood of letter to the BBC, asking when they could hear the show repeated. However, Mr. Brown pronounced himself entirely happy with the programme, as did the village people, who said they'd never had a whole album played on the radio before. At the end of the first round of the news quiz, as it has been for the last 35 series, it's tied at 4-4. Well done, chap. We start round 2 with an item spotted in the Wiltshire Gazette and Herald.
Lady Godiva on her steed Rosie is to lead a wacky race parade at Christian Malford on New Year's Day. But the identity of the bold rider is a closely guarded secretary.
Thank you, James Harper of Wiltshire, for sending us that. Andy, your turn again. Where did sportsmanship disappear down a black hole?
In Calcutta.
Right.
They were having a cricket match, and the Indians were losing to plucky Sri Lanka, and they decided that they'd set fire to the terraces. And as a Chelsea supporter, I couldn't see the problem, actually. But apparently... apparently, the adjudicator, who was Clive Lloyd, felt that, you know, maybe he should call it off because some of the players were in danger of being hit by bottles. But, you know, that wouldn't have stopped Freddie Truman, would it, being hit by a few bottles in the outfield?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was a bit wimpy, to be honest. Anyway, Sri Lanka now meet Australia in the final, who won today and cost Alan Curran a lot of money, I'm pleased to say, because he bet on the West Indies.
Anyway, did they bet the West Indies?
Yeah.
It was a very unfair match, really, because, I mean, all right, the Indians are quite good at this hooligan shit, but, I mean, England
the world champions at hooliganism had been knocked out.
Mm.
I mean, the Sri Lankan police weren't given any real opposition, as far as I could see.
Anyway, that's the answer.
You're absolutely right.
Cricket.
Cricket.
So the whole audience going... It's cricket. It's not even the cricket season. They're doing a cricket question.
Andrew, your question now. Who courted literal revenge okay?
I think we're talking about that dame of Bell Lip. Joan Collins, are
you
we
are,
not?
You are, yes.
We are, yeah. She's taken... I mean, I think it's a rather delicious revenge. This goes back to this appalling case where her publishers hired her at some astonishing, stonking sort of advance. Not because they thought she was the next Ernest Hemingway or Shakespeare or Chaucer, but because they thought her name on a book would shift a lot of them back in the 80s. And she delivered what you'd expect her to deliver. Probably not the... greatest prose since Geoffrey Archer. And she, in my view, quite rightly took them to court to try and get her advance back. Well, now she's had her, having won the case, or won about 75% of her case, she's now taking her revenge by using the same sort of descriptions about the people in the publishing company who saw off in court. I'm trying to remember some of the descriptions. They weren't very pleasant.
Well, have
you got some of them?
I have some of them there. You're absolutely right about the Joan Collins. She did hit back at her publishers after they tried to rubbish her literary efforts as repetitive. She wittily satirised their editor in OK magazine as ordinary and plain, and her assistant as plain and ordinary. The former Dynasty star has since left Random House to sign a new deal with Xerox and Xerox. Jeremy, here comes a piece of music. Well, that was, of course, the Beatles not being seen, but who saw to it that they wouldn't be heard either?
They got banned from the BBC. Radio 1, which is the in-your-face, kicking, bad-ass station with attitude, their Radio 1's head of skiffle decided... this new Mersey sound was not going to catch on. And the Beatles had copied it all from Oasis anyway. Is that the answer?
Yes, of course it is. Alan, who reckons where there's a will, there's a way? Deeply difficult question, this.
Yes, I think this is someone who is abdicating his present position to spend more time with the royal family. It can only be that Will, can't it?
That's right.
It's jolly unfortunate having a son called Will and your mother's lover is called Will. Because you never really know when the cry goes down the corridor who she actually wants. Although the nature of the cry would probably be a bit of a giveaway. Time for bed, Will. Who could this be? You want to talk about the end of the rugby captaincy?
Yes.
He looks like Desperate Dan more and more, doesn't he? You see him there sitting there with cow heel pie, this enormous lantern jawed man. Well, in about 2 hours, unless you're listening to the repeat, the paramour of Princess Diana is going to go out onto the rugby pitch for the last time for England.
Is that right?
Yes, it
is. You're going to bet on it, Alan?
I don't think so. If they were playing the West Indies, we might have an outside. One of the things that the interesting, if you want an interesting sidebar to this, I noticed that Will Carling's wife had been given an award this week, and it was Satellite Personality of the Year. And I thought, what a wonderful description of Julia Carling, the satellite personality, this tiny personality going around bigger ones. Anyway, that's that. Probably find out he's been knocking about with Camilla Parker Bowles. A big, strong woman.
I was interested.
If I were a rugby player, I'd go to Camilla Parker Bowles. A bit horsey, a lot of liniment. It'd be very good, haven't you? She would know where to put her hands on liniment, and this is very important in a rugby player.
Oh, dear.
I was fascinated that Julia Carling said that Will Carling makes her sick, which is obviously why he ran off with somebody who makes herself sick. repentance of spirit. But do you remember that rather touching corn advert they used to do? I remember they did this thing, and it was very sweet, because it was a role reversal thing. He was doing this rather effete attempt at spag bol with corn, and Julia was in the background arc welding or something. He looked so ill at ease, this big fat idiot with a stupid dimple, pretending that he was a caring new man. And you knew he was thinking, isn't there a coach window I could bear my arse out of?
What a shame none of that's broadcast.
The end of round two, the scores are still tied at 8-8. We start round three with a cutting from the Yorkshire Evening Post.
The cup tie will be played tonight, Monday, February the 12th, at Swindon. If Swindon win, then the above league fixture will be off, as long as their opponents in the fifth round, Southampton or Crewe, have completed their round. If not, it will be on. If they draw, then the above league fixture will be off. If the game is abandoned, then they will try again on February the 14th. Where only an Oldham win will leave our league fixture on. Any other result will see it off.
Well, Red Peter, and thank you, B.D. Fielding of Leeds, for sending us that. Andy, question again. Whose unhealthy attitude got a poor reception?
Could this possibly be about the report into our accident and emergency departments last week?
No.
Well, I'm going to talk about that anyway, because it got on my nerves. There was a report about accident and emergency departments, not having enough beds and things. And I noticed that the government spokesman said it wasn't due to a shortage, it was due to over-demand. Firmly placing the blame where it lies with the public. Who willfully, do dangerous things like sort of throw themselves in front of buses or travel on trains owned by the Wisconsin Railway Company. But it's not about that, you say?
No.
But I've got it off my chest, so that's good.
This isn't an obesity sort of...
No, don't look at me like that and say obesity. I feel quite hurt.
Oh, it's the receptionist. Who was very rude. Well, no, she's just working for the government, isn't she? Trying to get rid of demand in the National Health Service. Right. So you come staggering into her surgery, I may exaggerate a bit, but not too much, but you come staggering in with a cardiac arrest, gasping for the doctor, and she'd broadly say, sod off, you'll have to wait 2 hours. And she lost her job, and she took the doctors to Industrial Tribunal, and they said, no, quite right to get rid of her. But the government, as Andy suggests, would be very annoyed.
Yeah.
How better to reduce demand?
Over demand.
Over demand.
Under demand. They're all queuing, arguing with the receptionist. It's perfect. I know. How can that be a sacking offence for a receptionist?
To be rude.
I think that's extraordinary.
I thought you had to put it in your CV. Extremely truculent attitude.
This is doctor's receptionist, Cheryl Wood, who was dismissed for being rude to patients at a Dewsbury surgery. The Industrial Tribunal heard that Mrs. Wood had single-handedly destroyed morale in the surgery by reducing staff to tears and making patients' life a misery. She's now hotly tipped to be the new Secretary of State for Health. Andrew, here's a piece of music for you. Question is, why is computer dating going round in circles?
It's something to do with computer dating.
And circles.
Think of stones in Wiltshire.
Oh, Stonehenge.
Pardon?
Stonehenge, they've been carbon dating it.
Right.
It threw me off the track a bit there, because there was another computer dating, or sort of dating story around, which is this couple who after just 2 hours telephone conversation decided they might like to get married. But we're going back to Will Carling and Diana again there, so let's get back to Stonehenge. Yes, they've dated Stonehenge,
That's right.
It's probably older than everybody's assumed before. And there's been much chortling at the expense of the Druids, or contemporary Druids, because it's probably older even than the Druids. But one thing still puzzles the scientists is, how is the upright bits 1,500 years older than the bits that are supporting them? Which either suggests there's something wrong with this carbon dating, or that they got it in sort of kip form from Korea. weren't quite sure how you put it together.
It's because it's not finished. I mean, they carbon dated. They said it was begun in 5000 BC. Hmm. But they talked to the builders and said, well, we'll be out by Tuesday. We're just... wait until the Wassenaar's come in. So, I mean, that answers your question. It isn't actually finished.
Well, I've got the answer here. I've got the answer here, actually. It was made by the same company who later won the contract for the new British Library. Alan, your question now. Who's a little young to be canvassing in the abstract?
This is a very small Romanian person. Yes. She's a child who paints and has been compared to Picasso. You know what it'll be? I mean, people will look at her pictures and they'll say, blimey, Picasso could do better than that. So she's the small child who can do things better than Picasso can. She is a small Romanian with an American accent. I suspect everything about this story. How she was called out of some Romanian atelier and taken to New York, where she now has 8 agents, and she's over here selling things for £1,000. I don't think there's anything of the sort. Probably painted by a dog. And they're terrible. They're really terrible pictures. They're awful.
Are they? Mm. Anyway, that's very good. Well answered, and thank you very much indeed. The score's at the end of round 3. Andy and Andrew are 12. But Alan Corum and Jeremy Hardy are also 12. So, before we start the final round, here's a story from the Gloucester Citizen, sent in by Ron Osman of Newnham-on-Severn.
A sex line caller complained to Trading Standards after dialing an 0891 number from an advertisement entitled, Hear Me Moan. The caller was played a tape of a woman nagging her husband for failing to do job well. Consumer watchdogs in Dorset refused to look into the complaint, saying he got what he deserved.
Well, thank you, Ron Osman, for sending us that, and good luck with your marriage. Andy, will you have a listen to this?
76.
And your question is, what sounded brassed off 75 million years ago?
This is the Parasaurolophus. The Parasaurolophus, who was a dinosaur with a trombone on his head, basically. He had a sort of funny, it sort of goes backwards. It looks a bit like Michael Portillo's haircut, actually. They're now able to replicate the sound that the Parasaurolophus would have made, which was a sort of low...
Uncannily similar to how Michael Portillo sounds.
Yeah. So, and it was very low, and they could hear these things at very low frequencies. And so something like... that means no Tyrannosaurus coming, it's all right to feed. And that meant I can see one. Only on radio can you do that, because on television you just look stupid.
You do look quite stupid on radio.
Yeah, I know. I know, but only the people here know that.
This creature was discovered in the New Mexico desert. The animal didn't live there. It's just that its neighbours in town insisted it went out there to practice.
You want to hear a joke about a dinosaur?
Yeah.
This is a bloke working in a museum and minding the dinosaur, and a kid comes up to him and says, "Oh, mister, how old is that dinosaur?" He says, "It's 14 million years and 3 months." And they say, "How can you be that accurate?" He says, "Well, I've been here for 3 months and it was 14 million years old." And that was in the Berkshire Gazette.
Jeremy, what medium was sent out for a duck?
Oh, this is the story about the duck and the medium. Okay, this a duck and a medium go for a job on a building site. Foreman says, a woman got her ducks nicked, probably insurance thing, but she got her ducks nicked, and she went to a clairvoyant and gave the clairvoyant a white feather, which I think is rather rude, because if you're going to try and hire somebody, you can't really accuse them of cowardice at the same time. But she hired this clairvoyant, and it turned out that a neighbouring smallholder had been working on her land at the time that the ducks disappeared. And the clairvoyant went, "Ooh, maybe that bloke nicked your ducks, ooh." And then they went to look, and they were there, and lo, it was a miracle. And there is now a shrine there.
Police, who failed to solve the case, admit they too have used the advice of a mystic in the course of their duties. But so far they've only got two numbers plus the bonus ball. Alan, what's been turfed out to do everything under the sun?
This is another winner of the most useless bloody invention of the year. This is a mower that only works when the sun comes out. It's for mowing desert. The one thing you don't need in England is a solar-powered mower. You need a rain-powered mower in England. I think that's what it is, isn't it?
It is.
It's a solar-powered mower that won't work.
That's right.
It can't work.
It's got a mind of its own, hasn't it?
It has.
They're having to apply the same technique to the shadowed cabinet. But, no, it's true. It's lovely. They've got this mower and it's got its own feelings and emotions and stuff, and it can say, no, I'm not going to cut this grass. You know, it's beautiful. It may be long. It may spoil your bourgeois notions of a manicured lawn, but I like it. I'm going to leave it to grow and photosynthesize in a loving way.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy, have you brought a cutting for us?
Well, I've been sent one by Carrie Higson from Welshpool in Powys. Oh. This is a savage indictment of educational standards. English primary children are up to 2 years behind their continental counterparts in basic maths, according to a report today. Researchers found 11-year-olds of average ability unable to do simple sums, making mistakes such as 9 plus 28 equals 37.
Andrew, have you got one for us?
Yes, Barry. My cutting has an international flavour. It's from the Memphis Flyer, and it's about the French nuclear testing in the South Pacific. Questioned by journalists about France's resumption of South Pacific nuclear testing, the French ambassador to New Zealand, Jacques LeBlanc, said a 110-kiloton bomb was technically not a bomb because it was exploded underground and did not produce a mushroom cloud. Rather, LeBlanc said, it is a device which is exploding.
And so it is. Jeremy.
This was sent in by a disabled driver. And it's from a magazine called The Disabled Driver. And it's an advert. And it says, Orthokinetics Lark 4 electric scooter, brand new, unused, C-W batteries, charger, lights and horn, puncture-proof tyres, and curb crawling attachment.
Alan, what have you brought for us?
I have brought you something from the Southwark News. The Tower Bridge Magistrates Court heard last week that Lawrence Spink, 37, in his counsel's words, just snapped. When his ex-girlfriend tried to help Spinks with the cooking, he grabbed her throat and tried to strangle her. He punched her and called her a slag and a bitch and threatened to kill her. During the assault, she received bruising to her arms, legs and throat. Spinks, who was ordered to pay a fine of £1,000 and £750 compensation, is a customer relations officer with London Underground.
Thank you all. A look at the final score doesn't really tell us a great deal because they've been tied all the way through and they still are at the end. 16 all, well done, gentlemen. That's all from the news quiz this week. Until next time, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy and Andrew Rawnsley. The chairman was Barry Took and the news is read by me, Peter Donaldson. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson with Hugh Rycroft and Adam Bostock-Smith. The producer was Alan Evans.